I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith,
yes, living by faith
in Jesus above, trusting, confiding. Obscuring the brightness of light, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Some sweet day, our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great.
I believe the message will bear that out more and more as to the day in which we are living. Shall we turn this morning to Psalm 90? Very familiar psalm. Psalm 90, and let's begin with verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants, or have compassion on thy servants. O satisfy us early within thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. I've entitled this message, How Long? As we read in verse 13, Return, O Lord, how long? And I, among many others, I am sure, have cried out over and over using that term, how long? And we are referring to the coming of the Lord. There is not such an instance of how long found in the Scripture in direct reference to the coming of Jesus for us. We find there are a number of references to how long, as there are various ones wanting to know how long until the Lord pours out vengeance on the enemy. But I want to notice that this term, how long, indeed applies to our day. There are other expressions of it, as we hope to bring out in this message today. The context of Psalm 90, as we read at the very beginning of it, is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And it seems that this psalm was written around events very close to the end of the 40-year tenure of Israel in the wilderness. That is probably coming to an end here, and it seems like that Moses is asking the question then, return, O Lord, how long? It's just about over. Why are we not have come up to the land of Canaan? You will notice here in verses 15, make us glad according to the days wherein you have afflicted us. They have been afflicted for 40 years, and Moses really wants to know, when is that going to end? Verse 16, let your work appear unto your servants and your glory. He's talking about the glory of the Canaan land that they are looking for. Verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands. It's the work that they would be doing, the farming, all of these things in the Canaan land. He looks forward to that land. Return, O Lord, how long until we actually experience this? It reminds us very much of the same attitude and the same pattern that Daniel had in chapter 9 of that book. And he knew by books that the 70-year captivity was almost over. But he didn't see any evidence of the Jews going back to Jerusalem. And so he prays for forgiveness for them. And he prays that the Lord would shine his face upon Jerusalem. He wanted to see them going back to that land. And it implies, how long, O Lord, until this happens? God answered him with the vision of the 70 weeks. And of course, Daniel learned from that there was going to be a long time before things were actually restored the way he wanted them to be. We too follow this same pattern in our day. Return, O Lord, how long? We are likened unto Israel in the wilderness. And we too, bless God, know that that time is almost over. We know that. It's not a myth. It's not a figment of our imagination. We know that the time on this earth is almost over. There are many that don't, but we know that the time is drawing to a close. We long for our heavenly Canaan, just exactly as Moses longed for that day when Israel would be in that promised land. I want to notice that God does answer this question for us. Let us turn to the third chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation 3. It is a very, very familiar portion of Scripture. We have spoken on it. We have read it. We have meditated on it. And so many have followed that pattern. It is the hope that so many of our day claim for themselves and rely on. And so Revelation, and we'll just read just a portion of the promises and the victory that is promised to the Philadelphia assembly. Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And so we are informed here. God says his answer to us unto how long First, behold, I come quickly. Hold on to it. But there is something in between there that we must understand for our lives, which is an answer really to how long. And it is this, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. This is so important for us to understand, because in all of these instances where God delayed his answer, where he did not come as the prophets would have liked him to come, God had his purposes to fulfill. The same thing is true in our lives. And that is the meaning of this term, keeping the word of his patience. It means we are willing to wait for his word to perform or accomplish his purpose in our lives. I trust that this meaning is clearly comes through as we go through the rest of this message. Let's turn back to Romans 8. I want to read these verses to see them right before us. Very familiar scripture once again, Romans 8 and verse 24. And we read this: For we are saved by hope. The hope we have, we've already read. Behold, I come quickly. We need to hold on to that in our day amidst all of the things that we are going through. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? If he's already realized that there's no reason for him to hope. But we haven't realized the hope yet. We have not been caught home to glory yet. And so we still go by hope. Verse 25, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is another expression of keeping the word of his patience. Regardless of what we see going on round about us, regardless of the discouragements, regardless of many other things that we'll see here presently, we must keep our eyes on the goal. Behold, I come quickly, and know that Jesus is coming. And so we with patience wait for this hope that God has given unto us. That is very, very important for us. We'll not turn there, but you remember it well. It's 1 John 3:3. Just having this hope is absolutely beneficial to us. 1 John 3:3 says it this way: Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. It is this hope that will purify us. This is why Jesus said, you need to keep the word of my patience. It must be uppermost in your minds. We cannot just sit around twiddling our thumbs, just biding our time. Keeping his patience means we are active in pursuing this hope and what God wants to do in our lives. Let us turn to the book of James, where he too gives us some marvelous instruction about keeping the word of his patience. Just what is it to keep the word of his patience? James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Moses talked about the afflictions that they had as he was looking forward to the end of that trek in the desert and going into the land of Canaan. I want to notice and emphasize in our lives today, there is an absolute connection between the afflictions and the patience that we are talking about. And so count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Understand, when you fall, it means we didn't plan it. We didn't want it. We were going along at high speed, and all of a sudden, here we find ourselves in the midst of a great difficulty. What do you do about it? We know, we have said before, that when things come our way that are beyond our control, you can bet God had something to do with it. We must take it from His hand. And so count it all joy. That's a part of keeping the word of His patience, rather than grumbling, trying to get out of it, trying to get mad at someone because of it. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And the reason you do that is not because we like to suffer, not because we like pain and adversity and misery. We do it because we know this, the trying of your faith. The trying of your faith. It's another part of keeping the word of His testimony. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God is going to try or prove the word that is in our hearts. And so it's the trying of your faith, and it worketh patience. Keep the word of patience, my word of patience, said Jesus. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. It means that God is waiting for a reason. God is wanting to do something in us while we are waiting for His appearing, waiting for His coming. So let patience have her perfect work. Why? Because it shows you that you may be perfect and entire. It means absolutely complete in every respect, wanting nothing. The Apostle Paul tells us also of this same wonderful complete work. We'll not turn there, but Hebrews 10:36 says it this way. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Doing the will of God is not just going out and to the mission field or some other ministry that God may have for us. Doing the will of God includes the things He wants to do within our own hearts. After we have kept the word of His patience, after we have done the will of God by submitting completely to Him, to the work He's trying to accomplish in us, after that, He says, you will receive the promises. It is rather interesting, and I thought tremendously intriguing. James begins his epistle with the lessons on patience. He closes it the same way. Let's go to the fifth chapter of James. James 5. We are hopefully discovering more of what it means to keep the word of His patience. Indeed, as we wait for that time when Jesus is going to come and to catch us to glory. Verse 7, James 5. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. This is what we are doing today. Yes, behold, I come quickly. But until that time arrives, be patient. Therefore, brethren, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. The husbandman is none other than God Himself. He is the one who is looking after and dressing this vine that He has, this field that belongs to Him. You will notice that He is waiting for the early and the latter rain. It is God who knows who, when to bring these rains and how they are to come and all of these various things associated with bringing forth a good crop. He has patience. This is God's patience. Remember that Jesus' words to the Philadelphia assembly is that we should indeed keep His patience. Here is His patience. Now verse 8, be you also patient. You need to have the same attitude, the same patience that God has. He's already demonstrated. And we have seen in a number of places through the scripture that he is long-suffering and he is patient because of his matchless grace. This is another evidence of the grace of God. And he indeed is waiting until he can produce that wonderful vessel that he wants to produce and set on display throughout all eternity. And so verse 8, be you also patient, establish your heart. The trying of your faith will enable us to our hearts be established in the Word of God, where we will be unmovable. And believe me, there are many things in our world that are trying to make us movable today. There are many things trying to shake us from the hope that God has given unto us. We cannot allow that. We must stand for this message that God has given. It's a part of keeping the word of my patience. Establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Remember that we had there in Romans 8 this wonderful hope indeed that we must have even unto the coming of the Lord. We with patience wait for it, as we saw there. And so we are waiting for the coming of the Lord to draw nigh unto us. Verse 9, grudge not one against another. In the midst of all of these difficulties, in the midst of all of these afflictions, it is not time to hold a grudge. We must get beyond that. And notice, we must get to verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of the suffering, affliction, and of patience. He is using the prophets as an example of what he is talking about. The prophets actually did keep the word of his patience. If you study the lives, and we could have make an interesting study to see these faithful prophets. We've already seen Moses. We've already seen Daniel. We could look at Isaiah. We could look at Hosea. We could look at a number of the others down through the scripture, and all of them had to abide affliction, waiting for God to do what he wanted to do. James says, we are no different. Take my brethren, the prophets, who are an example of that kind of affliction and patience. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. And then, whether we had ever realized it or not, James singles out Job as being one of these prophets. We are very familiar with his affliction and his suffering and his endurance. James seems to call him a prophet, an example for us in these lessons on patience. And so you will notice, you have heard the patience of Job. You have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, or he is compassionate and of tender mercies. This is exactly what God is teaching us in these closing days of time. He is teaching us the depths of divine grace by actual experience. This is why we must keep the word of his patience in our own experience. It means that we must indeed keep our eyes on this goal. Behold, I come quickly, knowing full well that he is doing a marvelous work in our experience, preparing us to reign with Christ. As I thought on Job, I thought he really did claim the word of God in his trial. Just a few references. We're not going to turn to these, but you remember them well. They are simply examples of what it means to keep the word of his patience, to be patient. and to exercise faith in time of our affliction, in time of our difficulty. Job said it this way in chapter 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take." I've always enjoyed that, because the reason God knows the way we take is because he chose it for us. He chose the way that we should go. He chose this path for Job. He made the decision for Job to let the hedge down and let Satan in. He's still doing the same thing. He knows the way that I take. But then Job adds this: "When he's tried me, the trying of your faith," as we've already read, "when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And we know that means I shall come forth manifesting the divine life of the Lord Jesus Christ in my own mortal body. That's what God intended. That's the purpose of keeping the word of his patience even unto the coming of the Lord. Job 19:25 is another one. "I know my Redeemer liveth." And again, put the emphasis on "no." This is what we are learning during our closing days, knowing Jesus. It's not an imagination. It's not a myth. It's not a pretty story. I know Jesus, and no one can ever take that revelation away from me. I know my Redeemer liveth. "And he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." This is a man who knew he was going to be glorified in body throughout all eternity. Job 13:18, "Behold now." And again, let us bring it to the here and now, regardless of what difficulty we are in. And I don't know anybody that's not in some kind of difficulty. I just don't know them. If anyone doesn't have any difficulty or any trial or any kind of trouble, I'd sure like to talk to you after the meeting today and find out how you did it. "Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified." This is the story of Job when his accusers and his comforters were just firing one word of condemnation after another at him. And it didn't make him any difference. They accused him again and again of doing something wrong. God is punishing you for the wrong that you did, and you need to fall on your face. You need to repent before God, and then he'll restore you. Job, you have sinned. There is no doubt about it. This is Job's answer. "I've ordered my cause. I know I shall be justified." It isn't, "I hope one day to see this." "I know I shall be justified." Job 14:14. "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait." The word of his patience, waiting for God to do what he wants to do. "I will wait till my change come." We are waiting till our change comes in the form of translation. And this is what we are looking for. Yes, some may go by way of the grave. It doesn't make any difference. The change to a glorified body will occur. We are assured of that. But we long for that day of translation. "Thou shalt call, and I'll answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands." This is what we must realize. While we're crying out, "How long, O Lord?" And I see nothing wrong with that. But let us also be ready to accept God's answer, to keep the word of my patience in the meantime. And so we must indeed realize during this interim, During this time when sometimes things are so confusing, we don't understand him. Sometimes we may be prone to ask the question, why? I beg us not to dwell too long on that, because God doesn't have to give an account to us of anything. But let us understand, let us realize, we are the work of his hands. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is what we're doing. This is how we are keeping the word of his patience. We are remembering day after day that he has a work to do in my life in order to prepare me for that glorious coming of the Lord. And so we may ask, how long? But let us ever remember that Jesus' answer is this: keep the word of my patience, for behold, I come quickly.